The title of the sermon today is Separation. Separation. Please turn to 2 Thessalonians 1. 2 Thessalonians 1. Paul is writing to the members there in Thessalonica. He says in verse 3, so this is 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3, "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all towards each other aboundeth." So clearly he's seeing growth in that church. In verse 8, he speaks of the return of Christ. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 8, "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." Then beginning in verse 10, he speaks of the first fruits. So this is 2 Thessalonians 1, beginning in verse 10. "When he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness, and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ." These verses are discussed in the book, The Handbook of Bible Application, under the subject of purpose. Quoting now from that book for this verse, "We find purpose in becoming like Christ. Our calling from God as Christians is to become like Christ," Romans 8:29, which reads, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Continuing in the handbook, "This is a gradual, lifelong process that will be completed when we see Christ face to face." 1 John 3:2, which reads, "Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Continuing again in the handbook, "To be worthy of this calling means to want to do what is right and good, as Christ would. We aren't perfect yet, but we're moving in that direction as God works in us." And I've often couched the idea of the salvation process as moving from the back of the room to the forward part of the room. So we're always moving in a positive direction towards the front of the room, towards perfection. The handbook says we find purpose in becoming like Christ. It goes on to say that to be worthy of godly calling means to do what is right and good as Christ would. What is the right and good that Christ would do? Romans 8:29 says we are conforming to the image of Christ. This is repeated in our glory to glory verse of 2 Corinthians 3:18, where we read that this is done via immersion in the Word of God. What is the image of Christ? That is, what is it about him we are conforming to? Does it have to do with the right and good that Christ would do? 2 Thessalonians 1 speaks to our godly calling. What is a godly calling? Today we will answer these questions and discuss these issues as I encourage all of us to find purpose. In our recent Bible studies, we have been talking much about the concept of godly purpose, haven't we? For the most part, we have been using the other biblical word for purpose, which is the word sanctification. Let us immerse ourselves into this word. We will begin with a key verse, 1 Peter 1:2. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2. 1 Peter 1:2, "Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification." of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. So somehow we are the elect through sanctification of the Spirit. Let us define the word. From the Baker's Evangelistical Dictionary of Biblical Theology, a Bible dictionary. Sanctification. The generic meaning of sanctification is the state of proper functioning. To sanctify someone or something is to set that person or thing apart for the use intended by its designer. A pen is sanctified when used to write. Eyeglasses are sanctified when used to improve sight. In the theological sense, things are sanctified when they are used for the purpose God intends. A human being is sanctified, therefore, when he or she lives according to God's design and purpose. So as we've been learning in our Bible studies, God sanctified everything. Everything that he made was declared good. That means he made everything for a purpose, and he declared all of those purposes good. You know, anything that he made means nothing unless there's a purpose for it. And he designed it for specific purposes. Also, every situation that God involves himself in, world events, your life, your day-to-day life, everything that he involves himself with is sanctified. There's a purpose. The Greek word translated sanctification means holiness. To sanctify, therefore, means to make holy. In one sense, only God is holy. Isaiah 6:3, God is separate, distinct. No other human being or thing shares the holiness of God's essential nature. There is one God, yet Scripture speaks about holy things. Moreover, God calls human beings to be holy as he is holy. Leviticus 11:44, Matthew 5:48, and 1 Peter 1:15 and 16. Another word for a holy person is saint, meaning a sanctified one. The opposite of sanctified, and this is interesting, is profane. Leviticus 10:10. The quoted verses were Isaiah 6:3, for only God is holy. You don't have to turn to these, I'll just read them to you. Isaiah 6:3, and one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Leviticus 11:44, being holy like God, for I am the Lord your God, you shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Matthew 5:48, for being holy like God, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. And 1 Peter 1:15 through 16, for being holy like God, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be you holy in all manner of conduct, because it is written, Be you holy, for I am holy. Leviticus 10:10 regarding the word profane, and that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean. So that is an admonition to putting a difference. Be holy, not unholy. Be clean, not unclean. Remember our study of 1 Timothy 4:7, which we just conducted, but refuse profane and old wives' tales. And as you remember from that study, it said, you don't even fool around with these things. You get far from them. You reject them. You keep them out of your life. So we can't be anywhere near anything profane. We want to be clean, so we can't get anywhere near anything profane. Go back a moment to Leviticus 11:44. Leviticus 11:44, because it said, you shall therefore sanctify yourselves. What does this mean? How do I sanctify myself? Notice the commentary. This is for Leviticus 11 and verse 44. And this is the commentary: for you shall therefore sanctify yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. That is, separate themselves from all other people. Separate themselves from all other people and be distant from them by using a different diet from theirs. So we're not talking about, you know, become a hermit and stay away from people. We're talking about be distinct from them by using a different diet from theirs, as their Lord and God was different from all others, so called, and thus by observing his commands and living according to his will and to his glory, and we're going to see what that is, they would be holy in a moral sense, as they ought to be, who were under the peculiar care and notice of a holy God, and so highly favored by him. All of that from the John Gill. We see clearly in Leviticus 11:44 that we sanctify ourselves. We shall be holy. So if we can sanctify ourselves, we shall be holy. Surely there is a close biblical linkage between the word sanctify and holy. They're virtually the same word. The American Heritage Dictionary for sanctify has, as a definition, to make holy, to purify. Let us go to the Vine's Dictionary of New Testament words and compare these two words, holy and sanctify. From Vine's on the word holy, a separation to God. 1 Corinthians 1:30 and 2 Thessalonians 2:13 and 1 Peter 1:2, which we read. B, the resultant state, the conduct befitting those separated. So on the one hand, holy means there's a separation. We are a separation to God. We often talk about we separate ourselves from the world, but what we're really doing is we're separating ourselves to or toward God. And since we are separating ourselves, B, the resultant state, the conduct befitting those so separated. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verses 3, 4, and 7. And the four other places mentioned above. Sanctification is thus the state predetermined by God for believers into which, in grace, he calls them, and in which they begin their Christian course and so pursue it. Hence, they are called saints. The corresponding verb denotes to set apart to God. Now, from Vine's on the words sanctification or sanctify. You will notice that Vine has essentially the same definition here, though he will give even more detail. For sanctification, it says sanctification is used of a separation to God, and gives the same three verses he did for holy. And B, the course of life befitting those so separated. So you see his definition is the same. Here he's going to get into more detail, and he gives several verses which we're going to go through. Sanctification is that relationship with God into which men enter by faith in Christ. So God has set us apart to be connected to him. And we do all of this by faith in Christ. And verses are given. And to which their sole title is the death of Christ. So we as saints have a title, so to speak. We are the death of Christ disciples. Sanctification is also used in the New Testament of the separation of the believer from evil things and ways. We saw that earlier. Not only are we separated to God, but we are separating ourselves from evil things. Sanctification, this sanctification is God's will for the believer, 1 Thessalonians 4:3, and his purpose in calling him by the gospel, 1 Thessalonians 4:7, it must be learned from God, 1 Thessalonians 4:4, as he teaches it by his word, in several verses given, and it must be pursued by the believer earnestly and undeviatingly. And gives some verses which we're going to go through. For the holy character, 1 Thessalonians 3:13, is not vicarious. It cannot be transferred or imputed. It is an individual possession, built up little by little, describing a process here, as the result of obedience to the Word of God and of following the example of Christ, and gives several verses. In the power of the Holy Spirit, and we've stated a number of times that this is all possible by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the agent in sanctification, and gives several verses. The sanctification of the Spirit is associated with the choice or election of God. It is a divine act preceding the acceptance of the gospel by the individual, which is an interesting point, because the acceptance of the gospel by an individual initially is a miracle in itself. The reason that you accepted the gospel and accepted your calling and were called into the process was a miracle process. You didn't start to get making decisions until God put you in the process. There's a reason for that we've discussed many times, and so nobody could say, hey, I never got the point. God calls us to a separation. The primary separation is to God. Just as important is the separation from evil things and ways, primarily false doctrines and the ways of the world. Earlier in our discussion of Leviticus 11:44, I asked, how do I sanctify myself? Clearly, this is the work of God through Christ in us. So Christ is in us. He's living in and through us by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how we sanctify ourselves. We yield to the power of God. So God, by a miracle, called you into the salvation process, and you have only two choices there. Stay with it, or leave it. And some will eventually leave it. We will stay with it. In the Vine's definitions of the words holy and sanctify, a number of statements were given with scriptures to support them. Let us go through them now with some of the referenced verses. So all of those verses I just passed over, I gave you some of them and told you that there was a lot of scriptures there. We're going to go now through those two definitions and go through those scriptures, because it will speak to everything that this sermon is about. For the word holy, a separation to God. 1 Corinthians 1:30. 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So there's a lot being said there. We've talked about wisdom. How does wisdom happen? Well, it happens through first God giving us knowledge, and then understanding of that knowledge, and then action on our part. Action on our part is wisdom. Everything that we do in the salvation process, all that forward movement, is called righteousness. Sanctification, not only are we sanctified, made separate unto God and separate from evil things, we learn in sanctification the purpose of all things. Because ultimately, understanding the purpose of all things is going to drive our decision making. We talked about this in Bible study last night, in which we know that God makes all of his decisions based on the counsel of his own good will. And the age-old question is, what is his will? What is it that he's looking at to make decisions? Well, he's looking at sanctification. If you know the purpose of everything, not only the things he made, but the things he's doing, the plan of God in your life, the purpose of every intricate part of the salvation process, the more you know these purposes, the easier it is for you to make a decision. And you end up being like God in making decisions like he does. And we have verse after verse after verse in the Bible where it says to be like him. And then it says, and redemption. Well, redemption is the process that we're in. We're in a process of redemption, being taken from the evil and made perfect, moving us towards perfection. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. We are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. How? Through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Those two go hand in hand, because the more you have belief in the truth, what's truth? Understanding sanctification, understanding the purpose of all things. And all utterances of truth are going to go back to sanctification, because for something to be true, God had to make it true. He gave it the purpose, that gave it that purpose. And that's sanctified, that's sanctification. 1 Peter 1, 2, which we covered earlier as our key verse on the word sanctification, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit. So this separation to God, this understanding of purpose, is all known and takes place by the power of God's Spirit unto obedience. Isn't that interesting? If we understand and start making right decisions, we're going to make those decisions unto obedience. Our decisions are going to be under the heading of obedience. We're making the right decisions. If you've made a right decision in this situation, if you're making a right decision in the salvation process, that's called obedience. And the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you, peace be multiplied. B, the resultant state and the conduct befitting those separated to God. So we're going to look at scriptures that speak to our conduct as we are separated to God. 1 Thessalonians 4. These are all the verses that were mentioned in the definitions of holy and sanctification. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 3 through 4, so 3 and 4, and 7. So we'll begin at verse 3 of 1 Thessalonians 4. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. See how that separated to God and separated from evil. So he's giving you an example here, that you should abstain from, separate yourself from fornication. And we could probably have several sermons on what fornication is in its many guises. For every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. And if you know anything about 1 Thessalonians 4, it's speaking to abstaining from fornication and having a right relationship with the wife. Verse 7, for God hath not called us unto uncleanliness, but unto holiness. Separation to God. And the only way we can be separated to God is to be separated from uncleanliness. For the words sanctification and sanctify, A, separation to God, same as the first definition of holy. Vines gives the same three scriptures as he did for holy, the three scriptures we just went through. B, the course of life befitting those so separated. Vine gives the same verse from 1 Thessalonians 4, but then goes on. Romans 6. Again, we're going to be looking at a couple of scriptures here on, we're going to be looking at a number of scriptures here on our conduct, how we are to be. Now, unlike with the word holy, Vines gets into much more detail here. So you're going to see me breaking his B, and I had many statements in his B for sanctification. So I'm going to take that B and make a C and a D and an E and an F and so on. So for Romans 6, and I'm going to give you verses 19 and 22. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity in your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanliness and to iniquity unto iniquity, the opposite of glory unto glory of 2 Corinthians 3:18, even so now, yield your members servants to righteousness. So what God is saying here, is that we as humans inherently are moving from iniquity to iniquity, but now God has called us to be first fruits. And so he says, even so now, yield your members. I've called you into the salvation process. Yield your members, yield your life and all aspects of it to be servants of righteousness unto holiness, separation to God. Verse 22, but now being made free from sin, free from the process, and become servants of God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. So the reward for being separated to God is everlasting life. And this idea of being made free from sin means we have a procedure. We have a means by which we can break sin in our lives. Without that procedure, without that power, without that being separated from it, well, we couldn't be free from it. But when we separate ourselves to God, by definition, you're made free from sin. Hebrews 12:14. Follow peace with all men and what? Holiness. Without which no man can see the Lord. So we have to stay sanctified. We have to stay separated to God. C. Sanctification is that relationship with God into which men enter by faith in Christ. Acts 26:18. So sanctification is that relationship with God into which men enter by faith in Christ. And anytime you see that enter by faith, or the, a lot of the word use of the word faith means salvation process. So our sanctification is based on the fact that we're in the salvation process by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we have this relationship with God in that room, in that salvation process room. Acts 26:18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. So as you entered that room initially, as you entered the salvation process room, you went from darkness, it's dark outside the door, and you entered into light. And from the power of Satan outside the door onto God inside the room, that you may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith, separated to God, that is in me. 1 Corinthians 6:11. 1 Corinthians 6:11. So in this longer definition of B that he gave, and I'm breaking down into C and D and so on, he gives, for every statement, he gives some scriptures. And so I'm giving you the statement followed by the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 6:11, and such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. And you'll see that time and time and time again. All of this is being done by the power of the Holy Spirit that is in you. So how do I sanctify myself? By the power of the Holy Spirit. I separate. I continually stay with the relationship with God. I continually stay in the salvation process. I'm continually separating myself from evil, breaking the power of sin in my life, sinning less and less. D, to which their sole title is the death of Christ. And I referred to us, we are the disciples of the death of Christ. That is, we are made disciples. The fact that we can even be disciples is because of the death of Christ. All that we're talking about, all the sanctification, all of this separation to God, and all of this separation from evil is made possible by the death of Christ. I don't think, and as I was putting this sermon together, I kept thinking to myself, I don't know that we have the mind, even with God's Holy Spirit, to fully fathom. It's like the verse that says, the mind of man cannot see what is waiting for us in eternal life. I don't think that as long as we're humans, we can fully grasp the death of Christ. We can understand it to the aspects of our salvation process, but what I was struck by was his death and what that means permeates the entire universe, the entire creation, everything. And it's just way beyond our ability to grasp, in the same light that you can't even grasp the universe. I have no way to grasp what the universe is. And to the extent that the universe is large, is the same idea, the same feeling that you have in your mind as to the death of Christ. It's all encompassing. So, to which their sole title is the death of Christ. Ephesians 5 and verses 25 and 26. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ so loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might, what? Sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Well, there's a lot in those two verses. We know that marriage and the idea of male and female and husbands and wives and everything that is entailed there is a living metaphor. And what is it a living metaphor of? The love that Christ has for the church and the fact that he gave himself for it. Again, that little phrase, and gave himself for it, something we can hardly grasp. But in doing so, verse 26, he sanctifies and cleanses it. So for all of those of you that are husbands and or wives, you're living out a metaphor of something called sanctification. God gave a purpose to husbands. He gave a purpose to wives. He gave a purpose to marriage. He gave a purpose to sex. And all of these things are living metaphors in which we learn spiritual things. And through that, we are sanctified. We're cleansed. We come to the knowledge, therefore the understanding, and therefore action, wisdom. Colossians 1 and verse 22, in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. So again, we see that all of this is this idea of being of sanctification, of us even understanding sanctification, the purpose of things, and using things in according to design and purpose in our lives, all made possible by the body of his flesh through death. I think we could spend, if God gave us another 80 years, we could study that. Hebrews 10 and verses 10 and 29. Hebrews 10, I'm going to give you verse 10 first. Hebrews 10:10. By the which we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And verse 29, of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God? You know, I mean, that verse almost shocked me. Continuing, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherein he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. So what verse 29 is describing is somebody, a first fruit, apparently, clearly, who has trodden underfoot the Son of God. So anybody that leaves the salvation process is stomping all over sanctification. He's giving up on purpose. He's giving up on being holy. And the question here is, what's going to happen to these people? Of how much sore punishment? Hebrews 13 and verse 12. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. So we are sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. E, Sanctification is also used in the New Testament for the separation of the believer from evil things and ways. So we see in the sanctification this separation. We got separation to God, but away from evil things. The sanctification is God's will for the believer. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 3, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication." So he has given you a purpose. He has designed you. He's come up with a plan that involves you. And what is that plan? That you be sanctified by being close to him and abstaining from evil. F, it must be learned from God. It must be learned from God. The very next verse, 1 Thessalonians 4:4. I just gave you 1 Thessalonians 4:3. 1 Thessalonians 4:4, "For it must be learned from God that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor." Again, speaking to this relationship, this living metaphor of the husband and the wife, but giving us the greater concept that it says there that every one of you should know. Speaking to first fruits, remember this is a handbook for first fruits. And so 1 Thessalonians 4:4 says, you guys should know this. I've brought you to that knowledge. And I've given you understanding by the power of the Holy Spirit that your actions will be in wisdom according to sanctification. So if you're doing things according to wisdom, that means that you, where it says you should know, that means that God has given you knowledge, the Word of God, that's knowledge. And in respect to that knowledge, he's given you understanding of it. And this is what we do with sermons and Bible studies and your personal Bible study, which is 99% of your effort in learning about God, is your own Bible study. You are coming to an understanding of that knowledge. This is followed by and facilitates your actions. And this is wisdom. So how would we define a wise first fruit? Somebody who's making decisions after the counsel of his own good will, meaning defined as God's will. In other words, he has the same thing in his box of counsel there. I don't know how other to liken it onto the counsel of his own goodwill than a box, because I like to talk about what's in that box, what's in God's box that he makes his decisions by. Well, he's doing it through sanctification. He has decreed all of these things that he has made for a purpose. We make a pen for a purpose to write with. We don't use it to change a tire. We use it to write with. And we could go through the things the man has made. You know, it's really interesting when you buy something, especially anything that has an electrical cord or moving parts, it has a set of instructions. You know what that set of instructions tells you? First, it gives you a list of things not to do. Warning! And tells you what not to do with it. Like speaking about my example of the hair dryer. We almost laugh when we read in the instructions, first the warnings. Do not plug in the hair dryer and take it into the shower. Do not bathe with it. Do not use it as a bed warmer and put it under your pillow. And things like this. And we're going, what kind of crazy talk is this? Why do they have this in the instructions that came with the hair dryer? That's because somebody did all of those things. And so now they put warnings into the thing. They're going against sanctification. They're going against the purpose and design of the hairdryer. God is saying the same thing. I have designed things to be used in a certain way. The more you know about what that design is, the more you understand the purpose of marriage, male, female, sex, salvation process, whatever you want to point at that God has involved himself in, the processes that he's involved himself in, the things that he has made, animal, vegetable, mineral, the more that we can make right decisions. And that's what he's asking us to do. G, he teaches sanctification by his word. So F was, it must be learned by God. How? G, he teaches sanctification by his word. John 17:17. John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And verse 19, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. So that's very, very interesting, isn't it? Because, and another reason for fellowship and congregations and these type of things, the fact that we have been brought together as a congregation, whether it be by this electronic means or we're meeting at the local meeting hall, we are individuals in the salvation process that are learning about sanctification, purpose of things, and therefore we becoming an example. Iron sharpening iron, the Bible says. Well, what is the definition of iron? Somebody that understands sanctification and is making decisions based on purpose and design. And the better that he gets at that, the better I can be at that, the better that you can be at that, the better everybody is going to be lifted up. Everything about God is lifting up. So if everybody in the congregation is yielding to sanctification, purpose, design, and making decisions accordingly, you're lifting up the whole congregation. Because you've now become an example. And this also works with your relationship with your family and your relationship with the world. People see you invoking the power of the Holy Spirit in the form of godly principles. That's sanctification. Psalm 17:4, concerning the works of men. This is Psalm 17 and verse 4. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. That's a verse showing you the other meaning of separation from evil. So by the word of thy lips, by the word of God, I have kept me from evil things, the paths of the destroyer. I'm not going to go off God's path into vain jangling, as we've learned in 1 Timothy. Psalms 119 and verse 9. Psalm 119 and verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed hereunto according to thy word. Now what do we learn in the word? How do I cleanse my way again? I'm cleaning my way as I move bit by bit, little by little over a process of time. I'm cleaning my way. And I'm doing that by the power of the Holy Spirit. But I'm doing it according to thy word. And what is thy word all about? Purpose and design. Understanding the purpose of things and processes and situations. H, it must be pursued by the believer. It must be pursued by the believer earnestly and undeviatingly. 1 Timothy 2:15. 1 Timothy 2:15. And this is a verse that we learned about in our study of 1 Timothy. So we've already had this lesson. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and love and holiness with sobriety. And so if you go to the lesson, and I'll link this so you can go directly to that lesson, you'll see what this verse is all about and why it says at the first part there, notwithstanding she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and love and holiness with sobriety. Hebrews 12:14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man will see the Lord. So we have to become like Christ. Christ is coming back to find people that look just like him. That is, they've conformed themselves to his image. Remember our talk about how silver is refined. How do we know when the silver is refined? We see our reflection in it. So if you can imagine Christ coming back, who's he looking for? He's looking for people conformed to his image. They've fulfilled the requirements of sanctification, the purpose and design of the salvation process. Hebrews 12, verse 14. I gave you that one. Follow peace with all men in holiness. Okay, item I. Sanctification cannot be transferred or imputed. It is an individual possession built up little by little as the result of obedience to the Word of God and of following the example of Christ. The example of Christ. What is the example of Christ? It is a person of the Godhead who is doing everything according to purpose and design. He is a person who is making decisions based on purpose and design. The purpose and design that he has given to things drives the decision. That becomes his will. The will of God is defined as his decision-making process. He does everything according to his will. What's his will? His decision-making process. What drives his decision-making process? Sanctification of everything. And we learn that in 1 Timothy 4 and verse 4. Matthew 11:29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. And if you know anything about meekness and lowliness, that's not a negative situation. That's a positive situation. And when we see ourselves in the salvation process, we're yielding. See, we're yielding to something greater than us. We're yielding to God, but we're yielding to this sanctification. We're yielding to the purpose God called us to the purpose. So, I mean, to the salvation process, there's a purpose in that. Everything that he made has a purpose. Therefore, everything is sanctified. We are sanctified. There's a purpose for us being in the salvation process. And when we yield to that purpose, we are by definition meek and lowly. That denotes somebody who is yielding to that process. Can you imagine somebody rebelling? The opposite of meek and lowly would be rebellion against that. John 13:15, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. And Philippians 2 and verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ. What is that telling us? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ. Well, we're to have the same mind as him. Meaning that ultimately, in a process, over time, we are to have in our box the same thing that God has in his box when it comes to making decisions. Making decisions after the counsel of his own goodwill. A understanding. J, in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I will say this time and time again. All of this is possible. Everything that we do spiritually is by the power of the Holy Spirit. So when you see terms like sanctify yourself, that's not by your own power, it's by the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:13, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of your body, that's a separating from evil, you shall live. Ephesians 3:16, that he should grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Wow! We could spend a lifetime there, couldn't we? Because this is talking, in that one verse, we see the entire sanctification of man. According to the riches of his glory, that's something that I find hard to grasp, that he would even concern himself with man. There's even a verse in the Bible that says, who is man that God would be put his mind on us? Well, we come to find out something about purpose and design. He made us for a purpose. To be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. He's building something here. He's building character. K. The Holy Spirit is the agent in sanctification. Romans 15:16, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. So Paul is saying that he is the minister to the Gentiles, and that he is going through the salvation process with the Gentiles, teaching them the salvation process, and in doing so, they are being sanctified. How? How is this all being done? How is Paul doing this? By the power of the Holy Spirit. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. How? Through sanctification of the Spirit and belief in the truth. You know, often when you see something like that, where you see the word and, both sides are complementing one another. So through sanctification, how is he doing this? How has he chosen us in salvation? Through sanctification of the Spirit and belief in the truth. And I just mentioned this before when we went through 2 Thessalonians 2:13 before. Belief in the truth, belief in, understanding of, purpose and design. That's how you're sanctified in the of the Spirit. 1 Peter 1:2, another verse we've been through, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and the sprinkling of blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. In my introduction, I promise to answer some specific questions. Let us do that as we move swiftly to the end of this sermon. Number one, we find purpose in becoming like Christ. What does this mean? We find purpose in becoming like Christ. What does this mean? Answer, we find purpose in becoming like Christ because Christ is purpose. We learned in 1 Timothy 4:4 that in all things God made, he gave purpose. And we come to find out that Jesus Christ acts according to all of those purposes. He acts according to design. God has set up the universe in a certain specific way that has to be yielded to. Purpose. So we find purpose in becoming like Christ because Christ is purpose. If you study Christ, you're going to understand purpose and design of everything. The more you study him, the more you're going to see that. He is all these things. That is, he conforms to all of the purposes the Father set down from the beginning. Indeed, Christ was the one making all things in Genesis. He gave all things purpose. He and the Father are in agreement to all the purposes of all the things made and all the things the Godhead involves themselves with. We learn purpose and sanctification in and through them. Christ does all things according to purpose, and we find this purpose in the process of becoming like him. Number two, what is the right and good as Christ would do? Answer, the right and good that Christ does is doing all things according to their sanctification or purpose. Three, what is it in Christ we are conforming to? If we're conforming ourselves to the image of Christ, what is it in Christ we are conforming to? Answer, clearly, we are conforming to his essence and character, and we do that by conforming to the purpose of all things. And four, what is godly calling? What is godly calling? Answer, godly calling is a separation of us to God. It is also a separation of us from all things contrary to God, meaning all things evil and all things that go against purpose and sanctification. So go now and continue your walk of separation to God and doing all things according to his design and purpose. be a disciple of separation.